This podcast is brought to you by the Airline Pilots Association. ALPA supports its pilots through a variety of resources, including Pilot Peer Support, or PPS. PPS is a support network that connects ALPA members with trained pilot peers to talk about any personal or professional problems you may be experiencing. For contact information and to learn more, visit alpa.org/PPS.
Greetings, fellow pilots. This is Gary Holsinger. I'm a member of the MEC and have been the FO rep for Florida domiciles for the past 3 years. I'm speaking with Alan Christie, MEC chairman, and Elliot Isaacs, our vice chair, for the first of what I hope will be many podcasts. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks, Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Yeah, we're recording this with an eye to getting some insights from the officers on what's been going on recently and answering some questions coming from the pilot group. These are interesting times, to say the least. We've got the merger, operational problems, recruiting and retention issues, our always challenging relationship with management, to name a few things. Let's start with Alan. You've only been the MEC chairman for a little over 100 days. And I know personally one of the reasons the MEC voted you chairman was your campaign promise to be transparent and to keep the pilot group informed. So should I take it that starting this podcast is part of that effort?
Yeah, thanks, Gary. And yes, I started the MEC chairman job in January 1st when Brian Ketchum resigned. And kudos and shout out to Brian for all the work he's done in setting me up for success as he moves on to other things. Absolutely. We got a lot of feedback from the recent survey we did from pilots that one of the most important things that they found that they wanted was more face-to-face time with the MEC officers, LEC officers. And one of the first places that I saw an opportunity was to increase our presence in RGS classes. And that's one of the few touch points that some pilots have, the only touch point they have face-to-face with the MEC all year. So we have definitely stepped up that and will continue to do so. We have are planning to have some more at airport events at some of our larger domiciles during the high bank times when pilots are coming through the airport. So we'll watch for that here in the next couple of months. And also stepping up our efforts to hold LEC meetings and pub events in some of our larger domiciles coming. So these are all plans that we have in the future that we are actively working on. So watch for announcements for those events coming up here shortly.
Very good. Well, let's address the elephant in the room. Let's talk merger for a moment. Obviously, JetBlue's bid to buy Spirit has complicated matters. Where do we stand, Alan?
Well, Gary, from the time that the merger was announced, we'd been doing a lot of work behind the scenes. We'd started the process working with the Spirit MEC towards many of the agreements that need to be put in place. Since the JetBlue announcement of their intent to purchase Spirit, we have put a temporary halt to those processes. We don't have any particular timeline. This is up to the Spirit board right now. We're awaiting that decision from them to see what we'll be doing going forward.
All right. I guess this would be a good time to bring in our vice chairman, Elliot Isaacs. Welcome. Elliot, can we discuss Chicago for a minute? The system bid for those displaced pilots goes into effect here in a few days on May 1st. Fundamental question, do we know why management chose to close the domicile?
Thanks, Gary. No, we don't have clarity on the closure of the Chicago domicile. I think we were just as taken aback by the way that closure was announced as the rest of the pilot group. And we were not involved in any lead up to the decision to close Chicago. We would have expected that maybe our system scheduling committee would be involved in some forecasting and analysis. That wasn't done to our awareness. So we can't say with any certainty as to why they closed Chicago. We can say that they have made references in RGS, and when I say they, I mean management, to the pilot sick call rate during the Omicron wave and issues with schedule recovery. And also there have been some public statements made, I believe, just in terms of the competitive landscape that Chicago presents for Frontier. So that's really all we could offer in terms of the reasoning behind Chicago closing.
Well, anecdotally, I know of quite a few of us who, as a result of that closure, are taking a hard look at whether they even want to stay at Frontier. Recently, attrition has been hitting historic highs. Do we have any read on the company's plans for trying to hold on to pilots?
I'll take that one. We don't have any read on the on their plans to hold on to pilots. I'm not even sure that the company acknowledges that they have a retention problem. We've seen that resignations really start to spike beginning in about the January timeframe. And so far, the data that we see is that they're losing about one pilot a day, so about 30 pilots a month. That and the combination of the recruitment would tend to indicate that there is a very competitive landscape out there. Our pilots have choices now. It's unlike anything I've seen in my 42 years of the business. And every other airline is experiencing either a huge hiring boom or a big retention problem. We're not alone in that. So we don't know what the company's plans are. They have made a gesture towards the new hire pilots to increase the pay up to 98.5% of second year pay. That was a function of a contractual provision that was negotiated with our 2019 CBA in LOA 4. And we pointed that out to the company and they took advantage of that. Beyond that, all the information that we have is just from doing exit interviews with our pilots. The main reason that we're finding from pilots leaving is it's a loss of the pilot-friendly culture at Frontier. It's not economic reasons why people are leaving. So there's certainly opportunity for the company to address things that that they probably know, that we definitely know. We'll just wait and see.
Okay, you mentioned LOA 4 or MOU 4, the new hire pay increase. Any talk with the company about increasing compensation across the board?
Short answer, no. We have not been approached by the company of increasing pay rates across the board outside of Section 6 negotiations.
All right. Well, let's talk new hire hotels and bring Elliot back in. Elliot, what's the company done? What was ALPA's response? Where do we stand? I mean, it to an outside observer might seem a little weird that ALPA would oppose getting hotels for new hires in the first place.
Yeah, so the company did not inform ALPA in any official way that they plan to provide new hires with hotels. We found out word of mouth, and our response was to let management know that if they're going to provide new hires with hotel rooms in domicile, that they should be doing so for all other pilots who are attending training in their domicile. That only seemed fair to us. At the same time, we recognized we were a little bit late in the game because we were not made aware of it, so we told the company they had relief contractually for one class, that was the February 28th new hire class, give them enough lead up time to inform any future new hires that they wouldn't have lodging available to them. The company has basically declined to negotiate with us on providing all pilots with hotels while attending training in their domicile, and they've continued to take contractual relief on their own, thereby leading to a group grievance, which we've filed for all pilots. And, you know, again, we don't oppose new hire hotels. I think what we oppose is the way that they are being provided.
Okay, now I'd like to address something that's been festering for some time, vaccination pay. Our CEO appeared on video last year promising 4 hours of pay for employers who got the shot. Obviously, there was some back and forth. What in the world happened?
Yeah, we were made aware that the company intended to pay 4 hours for vaccine records at the same time as everybody else. Our approach was there were other airlines or peer groups out there that had done comprehensive letter of agreements that were negotiated that entailed more than just the value, but the value was one piece of providing your vaccine card. In addition, how you would apply the sick leave to obtaining your vaccine was something that was solved at other airlines, along with the timing of the vaccine and compliance with the FAA waiting period. So there was one approach was to do a comprehensive LOA, which the company didn't show very much interest in, if any at all. And the other approach would be just comply with the contract. So we fell on the latter approach in the way that we wanted to deal with this after management declined to really negotiate on anything. And we asked them to apply the contract, and that's where it stood. We never opposed 4 hours of pay. We just said that the monthly credit override that excludes only two forms of credit, sick and training, that applied to the vaccine as well.
Okay. One topic of conversation that seems to be continuing is the chief pilot office issuing disciplinary notices. Back in February and March, I believe there were 44 disciplinary notices sent out to pilots for hearings related to their reliability. Alan, would you mind addressing briefly how that process played out and where things stand now?
Yeah, certainly, Gary. This is one of the first issues that I was given the opportunity to deal with as I took on the role of MEC chairman. We were initially approached by the company with their concern over the rate of sick calls over the Omicron surge that saw the highest number of COVID infections the country had ever seen on a daily basis. We looked at the data and found that our pilots were calling out almost in line, if not even better than, trending better than what was happening at other airlines. Unfortunately, our management decided to take the draconian approach to issue discipline letters for people who had used contractually a compliant sick leave provision in our contract to take care of themselves and their families over this very stressful time for people. And as you said, the company decided to issue 44 of these notices. We put all the resources of the representation department of the MEC to protect these pilots. And I would say that we were successful in that none of these pilots saw the ultimate discipline of being terminated. We are, however, still working through this, that many of the solutions that they came up with, we feel are not contractually compliant, and we have appealed many of those decisions. So this is, again, just goes back to the issue of culture within the airline and the nature of how Frontier management wants to approach that now. And we find that very troubling, and we have heard from many pilots that this is just not something that's conducive to creating a very Frontier-friendly, as we have known in the past, a Frontier-friendly culture for pilots to work in.
Well, that once again raises the issue. We've been kind of dancing around it for the last few minutes. In a nutshell, guys, where do we stand with management? You know, how would you characterize the relationship between the association and Frontier management these days?
It's been challenging. We were working very well together during the COVID pandemic to solve problems and find a path forward to a successful reestablishment of the schedule and keeping all pilots current and things like that, as most people here are aware. The MEC is always willing to work together to improve the lives of all Frontier pilots, and we've put forward several proposals to address the well over 200 disputes that are on file. What we have found is that without a framework for dispute resolution, that these meetings have not been that productive. As I mentioned, we're always willing to find ways to work together and solve problems. We just have not found that much willingness on the other side to want to work with ALPA in these issues. I'll let Elliot probably embellish that a little bit as well.
No, I'd just say that, like you said, that meetings have not been particularly productive with management over the last 12 months or so. And right now, our focus as an MEC is to really make sure that pilots have the tools they need to apply the contract. They're educated on the contract and the provisions that have been negotiated to protect them, and that we give our pilots that we represent the best ability to really have the least painful trip when they do report to work. And that might not be so obvious, but we are definitely doing the best we can right now. And we're going to make ourselves available, like Alan said earlier, to meet with quite a few folks at the airport and continue to provide access to pilots so that we can have productive conversations with all of you.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. A lot of good information. I look forward to doing this again soon. And thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll see you out on the line.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.